Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek Valley Social Club. Today, I have a special guest with me, one of my close friends, Mr. Mojo Jojo himself, Joseph. Joseph, say hello.
Mojo Jojo! What up? So excited to be on the podcast.
So today's episode, we are going to talk about what everybody is talking about, The Mandalorian. But first, before we get into that, with all my guests, I have to ask, Joseph, who is your favorite superhero and why?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. That's like asking someone your favorite movie. Wow. I think I always go back to the non-superhero anti-hero Deadpool. He's always been one of my favorites. I've always had this thing for ninjas, and he has a very ninja-esque ability and his sense of being, but now he's evolved, and definitely with that fourth wall and the comedy, I think he kind of embodies a lot of who I am, I would say.
You're a ninja?
I'm a ninja. I'm a silent ninja. No, just more the, you know, off-the-cuff type comedy that he has, you know, whether it be written or what we've seen with Ryan Reynolds, who is one of the best
actors to play him.
Definitely was a great casting for that one.
So do you think, are we going to see Deadpool in the normal Marvel universe? I mean, I guess we are, but what version are we going to see? Like, what do you think they're going to do with him in the Marvel Cinematic U? Because they can PG-13 him.
They can.
They've done it in the comics, so.
I don't know why they would, though.
Yeah.
They've already started out with One Direction, you know, heading him down a certain path. But if you try and change that now, you might not get the same audience that you've had and the same amount of fans, like, backing something like this if they water it down.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're definitely going to. I think they're going to have two versions. Like, when he crosses over into, like, let's say an X-Men or Fantastic Four or whatever, Avengers, like, they'll probably censor him somehow. But I think he still has his standalone movies where they'll keep that R-rated. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Ryan Reynolds can get Hugh Jackman back to portray his role as Wolverine for a cameo or even, like, a movie?
Oh, I think their friendship off-screen definitely.
Do you think he can do it? Like, he'll get him?
They definitely can pull them back together. I don't think there's anybody else that could do that. You know, I think Hugh Jackman would jump at the opportunity to do it again because Ryan Reynolds is the one asking or the one pushing for him to do it. I would love to see, and, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Stan Lee. I think Deadpool could be that new Stan Lee that makes the cameo appearances in every single movie. Yeah. I think that would be a great idea to have him show up and do these little snippets instead of Stan Lee, because Deadpool kind of does that. That's his, you know, kind of his...
The breaking the fourth wall,
His freakazoid type character where he just kind of like pops in and leaves. So
give the fans what they want.
Why not? Come on, Marvel, do it.
I know they. Oh man, I'm excited. I'm excited to see the future of Marvel. Like, there's a whole lot. And just real quick, speaking of Marvel, I think it's, as of this recording, we are 3 days away from Daredevil reverting to the cinematic. So, and I don't know, but Charlie Cox. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, he reprises his role.
That'd be awesome. He did a great job with the Netflix show, and he definitely portrayed Daredevil in a good light. Hopefully we can see him. Haha, pardon the pun. See him again.
That was good. I like it. All right, so now back to the task at hand. What we're here for, so we want to talk about The Mandalorian. Anyone who's listening to the show hopefully knows what The Mandalorian is. Disney Plus show in the Star Wars universe about bounty hunter. What's his name? Djarin? What's The Mandalorian's name? Din Djarin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm familiar with most of the movie stuff for Star Wars.
I've delved into a lot of the TV series when it comes to...
Delve?
Just a little bit.
Deep dive. This guy did not delve into it. He deep dived into the let's
Clone
see.
Wars.
Clone Wars.
Rebels.
Rebels. what was the other
one? Resistance.
Resistance.
All the animated stuff. Yeah. You know, some of the comic books in the past, a few of the books in the past, but more, you know, more recently, there's a lot that Disney is definitely putting out when it comes to the written world of Star Wars.
Yeah. And
the galaxy that is expanding every day with them.
Now, I'm not too familiar so much with Rebels, or the Clone Wars, but you said you watched the Genndy Tartakovsky, the guy who did he do Samurai Jack? What did he? There was a Clone Wars. Correct. Before the Clone Wars, right?
So before the Clone Wars TV series, it was after movie 6, I believe, if I remember correctly. They came out with a small set of animated movies that was very similar.
Right? Yeah, were they shorts, right?
It wasn't very long. I have them on DVD.
Wait, we have those?
We have
those. Oh, man, I gotta watch those. I didn't know we had it. I gotta watch those.
Definitely a great thing to watch, but it does, you know, in the past it connected a lot of it was trying to do a connection of the movies between 3 and 4, and you got to see a little bit more of Anakin, and it introduced, you know, Saj Ventress. You got to see her character kind of quickly evolve in the fight and the battle between her and Anakin, you know, both as being that dark side type, you know who's the next in line for to be the second in command, basically, how there's always the rule of two when it comes to the Sith.
Gotcha. Oh, rule of two?
Rule of two. They always have a master
and an apprentice. All right, so before we get any further into this, I have to, as of right now, Mandalorian, we had just watched episode
5 of season 2,
and it's called The Jedi. So if you haven't seen that, but by the time you're listening to this podcast, spoilers, we are going to talk about some stuff that went down. So you've been warned. Now let's go back to just season 1 of The Mandalorian. Let's just go back to The Mandalorian itself, first of all. Jon Favreau, written, directed. It's got a very lone wolf and cub vibe.
Yes.
Which I love. Anyone who's not familiar with lone wolf and cub, old samurai and a... Is it like an orphan? Mm-hmm. I don't think it was his kid, was it? But it's basically this lone samurai suddenly has to protect this like child, and that's kind of like the Mandalorian is like kind of like that. So
has a very outlaw, wild, wild west type feel to it.
Space western, for sure.
It's a, it's a definite space western when it comes, as you watch season 1, you kind of get a lot of that, but you know, it does involve. The main character and his little sidekick, basically. Yeah.
And also, it's cool because what I like about this is in the original movies, the closest thing we had to Mandalorian was Boba Fett.
Yes.
Which I think was...
Character-wise.
Character-wise, yeah. He was the coolest looking character, one of the coolest looking characters that had the most disappointing, like...
Well... Well, we don't want to say disappointing end because
at the time we had was this really cool bounty hunter who looked awesome. He captured Han Solo, frozen with carbonite, whatever, and then he accidentally I
fell into a sarlacc pit.
Yeah, a half blind Han Solo accidentally smashes him into the sarlacc pit, but. Like I said, we now know. But I mean, that was the only Mandalore. And then there wasn't, I mean, we didn't know much about him. And everybody wanted to know about him. But Rebels got more into the lore of... Well, again, I mean, I'm sure there were books written. I didn't read any of those books or anything like that. But Rebels did a deep dive into Mandalorian, I guess, like, history. Mm-hmm. So since you're a little more familiar with that than I am, the Mandalorians... basically, we learned that they're not a race, correct? Or
yes and no. It's almost the way I can describe it is very much like being Jewish. There's a difference between religion and being racially considered Jewish as well.
Okay.
So you have both sides of it. Mandalore kind of has this great big battle and this separation. There is a, you know, very much kind of like the Empire and the Republic. they have their own set of kind of divide that happens on their home world of Mandalore.
Okay.
And there's quite a few different characters. There's a hierarchy system that they deal with all the time, but they're, you know, that's where kind of you get in episode four, you meet in episode three, you meet a very interesting character.
Of Rebels?
Of Mandalore.
Oh, man.
Which is Bo-Katan, and she actually plays a huge factor. Sorry for another spoiler, guys. A huge factor into what the future of Mandalore may look like and what we're going to see when it comes to the Mandalorian.
So she is basically, is she royalty? Or is she like...
She's leader.
Next in line?
Yeah, she's technically next in line, we can say that. So,
okay.
And there, you know, one of my favorite story arcs of Clone Wars actually deals with her sister. And the love story that isn't supposed to be a love story involving a Jedi and a non-Jedi.
And as we know, Jedis are supposed to... Well, they're space cop monks, basically, is the way of the Jedi. Is not supposed to have any emotional attachments or...
And that's the big thing with the whole Star Wars story arc, is Jedis actually are supposed to remain... They're not supposed to be police officers. Yeah. And that's where kind of this...
But they're used. They seem like they're used like cops or soldiers and this and that.
They get wrapped up in a lot of the business because they're there to kind of... keep the balance. Well, keeping balance kind of puts them into the policing type situations,
to make
sure that peace is kept, but they're not supposed to be police officers.
Yeah.
You know, but they do have a very monkish lifestyle.
Supposed to.
But one of the biggest things that you see is, you know, as we've seen throughout all of the different aspects of Star Wars, is they're supposed to have no attachment. We notice that with Anakin and Padme, and you see, you know, the tension that's built with someone who's not supposed to be attached to anybody, who has fallen in love with someone, and is technically going against his code.
But I mean, you know, she shows up in like that black leathery piece, and which one was it? What, I forgot what movie it was, but like when they were really diving into it, like she's got this like. Dominatrix. I was like, oh, come on.
The one with the big feather boa head.
Yeah. And then, like I said, she was all like in black and leathery. I was like, man.
Well, you know, shout out to Miss Natalie Portman. You can't, you know, if someone's going to fall in love.
You got no defense against that. Yeah. Like, how is a Jedi supposed to like. Oh, man. Oh, good. Oh, I'm excited. Natalie Portman for Thor: Love and Thunder. That is awesome that she came back.
Yeah, well, Jane Foster can take the mantle.
She came
Thor.
Back. Yeah, she came back for Endgame, and then because there was beef, right? Yes. She had beef. Like I don't remember what it was, but I know she had beef with the
a little bit of drama.
I don't know if it was the producers or the company or what, but that's why we didn't see her in some of the movies. They kind of wrote her off.
Creative differences.
Yeah, but she's back, so I don't know if it was like I'm sorry, I don't know who apologized, or I don't know if the check was right, because you write a big enough check, I could swallow my pride for someone and be like, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna be the lead, I'm gonna be Thor, okay, we're cool now.
Yeah, they could have definitely used Valkyrie and kind of gone that direction.
Easily. Well, again, as far as we know, she's the new leader, right? The Asgardians.
New Asgard.
Yes. As far as the Mandalorian goes, I think they're doing a good job. So I was a little worried at first when they introduced Baby Yoda as a now the child has a name now, but we'll get into that in a second. But like I said, I just thought, oh, it's the cuteness factor. They kind of need to throw that in there, but. They gave this, like, again, he's a baby. Well, was it 50?
He's a 50-year-old baby.
He's 50-year-old baby.
Baby cause, Huey.
Because basically, and Yoda, you know, like I said, we didn't know the race, right? Yoda's race.
We still don't know the race.
So the Yoda
species.
Basically, they age differently because Yoda passed at what, 900? He was
over 900 years old. Yeah. Methuselah.
So Yoda, or well, I mean, again, like his physical body passed, because apparently he showed up in like almost every movie so far, and he not only, well, again, like he
went with the Force.
the force is with me. So again, like his, you know, his spirit form, but like I said, he can still affect like physical matter, because he destroyed, or well, we thought he destroyed the books with that Force lightning, or lightning. I don't even know what it was, unless that was a weird coincidence. But he just
he can still guide from the great beyond.
Yeah. So, what is the gone doesn't necessarily always mean gone or something like that. There's a saying, I think, in the Star Wars lore, but yeah, like I said, I was worried. I was like, oh, they're gonna throw in this cuteness factor, it's gonna be weird, and like this Western, this guy's hardcore, you know, bounty hunter, but they did adjust it. Baby Yoda has cuteness factor, but also we saw that he wields the Force.
Correct.
Like, so it was kind of cool. I liked the dynamic between the two, because he is basically, the Mandalorian is basically, he's turning into someone that he's never been. A father figure, or like that protector, because this is somebody who hunts people down for money. He's got to live a savage life. He lives a lonely life.
He does.
He's normally lives a lonely life, because again, like the offshoot. So in The Mandalorian, the lore that we know from him is you never take off your helmet, like in front of anybody. But apparently we just learned from Bo-Katan,
it's a faction of the Mandalorians. Yes.
So it's not necessarily, because again, in the cartoons, Rebels and all that, everybody has their helmet off. You're just like, all right, well, this is weird that this guy, like his belief and his crew, and like they usually work alone. They're never a whole bunch of them out and about at the same time. They're not supposed to take off their helmet. So basically they're more of a, like a hardcore
nomad.
Yeah, like their belief is like more by the book, like we this is how we live, this is the way.
Correct.
You know, but again, Bo-Katan and her crew, it's just a little different.
Yes.
So but we just learned that from the Mandalorian show, right? About that faction, or do they talk about
They talk about that in
Rebels.
Yeah, in Rebels there's a very good story arc. And where you kind of meet different Mandalorians, and you know the more talk about the Black Saber and what it is. There's, Darth Maul plays a factor in that, who is a character that a lot of people loved. He had a very quick death that we thought. But you know, Dave Filoni he definitely reintroduced some of these major characters that, and was able to bring them back into the animated series.
Yeah. And Dave Filoni did the animated series, right? He was the
He kind of oversaw all three sets of those animated series that have that were created in the last couple years. But Mandalore has a very deep rooted history, and you do see the difference between one faction versus the other, and kind of their this is the way on both sides. Yeah. The belief system that they both hold. Yeah.
I like too how, again, because we liked how Boba Fett looked. We liked like, oh, that armor, that Mandalorian armor and this and that. I like how we got a history of the armor. Beskar. It's made out of Beskar, which the Imperial melted down and made it into a currency, but it's super important to anyone who's a Mandalorian. And we've learned how strong Beskar is, so it can take blaster, a lightsaber. It held up against a lightsaber, or what do you call it? The flash sword?
The flash sword.
What did he in the episode? I totally forgot what he said. He called it which is weird, because again, this goes back to that nomad lifestyle as far as that faction, as far as the Mandalorian's faction. His group, because there's a lot they don't know. They know about the Empire, but when they explain about the blacksmith character, she tells them like you know there were stories about fighting against sorcerers, and he didn't know like a Jedi. He didn't know what a Jedi was. He was like, wait, what?
He doesn't have a full understanding of his own history, And so, you know, having Bo-Katan kind of bring these certain small little quick
like he didn't
tidbits
know.
About what has happened or who he is, it's kind of opening his mind a little bit.
I guess the galaxy is bigger.
He's evolving. You can see him evolving.
Which I like that whole, because like I said, going back to, again, his belief is, you know, you wear their armor, you live by the code, you never take it off. And then he met not Boba Fett. Right. And he was like, the guy takes his helmet off and instantly he's like, okay, who are you? Like, where did you get that armor? Like, he knew instantly, like, this guy is not one of us. But when he met Bo-Katan, same thing. Her and her crew, they take off their helmets and he's like, okay, hold on. Where did you guys get the armor? Like, he's very, like,
confused.
He's like, what, like, what? Suddenly everybody has armor. Like, everybody's got my Mandalorian armor. But I do like his, and you know what? His, compared to everyone else's, his looks stronger.
It does.
Like, his looks thicker, like heavier, and I don't know. It could be because it's colored. Shiny. It's not colored. It's not painted all crazy. Yeah. So,
well, I think the Forger kind of did her job too in making sure that, you know, he had.
Well, he had a lot of Beskar.
He came across, because there was a lot of people that have kind of lost their armor. So it seemed like she gave him what was left, the best of the best. She did what she could to kind of provide him. As that sole Mandalorian that was by himself, you know, in front of her, ever present, you know, in front of her. But she gifted him all those pieces as much as she could into some, you know,
and I like
very
too how
strong armor.
It's very samurai-esque too, or like he lives by this code where there were a couple of times where like she wanted to give him a sigil and he was like, I didn't earn it. Yeah. Like, you know, like the beast that you know, he, or
the mud horde
that him and Baby Yoda took down, like he told him, he's like, I didn't take it down. She was like, oh, that'll be your sigil. He's like, well, I can't take it because it wasn't me, it was, you know,
sense of honor.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that. I really like that.
But there's honor in being a parent as well. You know, I think that's what he's learning.
It's funny too, because you can tell he's attached but not.
He's trying not to be.
Yeah, he's protective. He hasn't, like, because even in the latest episode where Ahsoka Tano tells us that, like, you know, he's got a connection to you. But let's before we get into Ahsoka, before we get into the Jedi, which, okay, well, I'll talk about it in a second, but
insert squeal here.
so again, like I said, I'm not as familiar with Rebels, or which again, this show is bringing up a lot of that history and those characters, or possibility of those characters. But first, let's talk about the Black Saber. Now, why is that significant?
So the person who holds the Black Saber is said to be the leader of the certain Mandalorian faction. Basically, they're the leader of Mandalore.
Gotcha.
It's one of their... It's like a scepter. It's a symbol.
One of?
Correct.
There's only one.
That's it.
Gotcha. And it's basically a Mandalorian, their version of a lightsaber. But who created, like, how old is this thing?
Old. It's
So it's been around for a minute.
It's, from almost like the beginning of Mandalore, they've had it. What I know, and I can, you know, kind of do my digging again, but it's been around for quite some time.
Okay. So. And do we know what it's made out of? Do we know, like, is it? Because again, the Jedi's use kyber crystals and this and that. So, I mean, do you think it was there hasn't been a Mandalorian Jedi, correct? I guess you can't be a Mandalorian or a
Not
Jedi.
That
right?
I
you
remember.
Can't. Like, it's basically
there, but you know, force sensitive beings exist in almost every species that's out there in the galaxy. Some, you know, some are, you know, very much like Yoda species. They are highly, highly, extremely highly sensitive.
And then,
you know, and that's, I think that was why one of the biggest reveals of this Mandalorian series is they brought a species, a character that we only know of, you know, in canon, only like two or three have existed. You know, when you bring something like that, you know, everybody loves Yoda. He was
awesome.
He was great. He had the best sayings. He spoke, you know, incorrectly, which,
but correctly, like it all made sense.
Yeah, it all made sense in a way. But at the same time, like he brings a whole different aspect to the series, you know, being this small little leader. But when he gets down to it, kind of that Master Splinter type situation with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like you see this feeble old man, and then out of nowhere, he becomes this complete badass and like, you know, has this giant fight scene in the middle of the story arc, and
that was
we get to see Yoda be, you know, be a Jedi master.
Yeah, like why? Like why is this little old guy considered like one of the greatest masters and this and that? It's funny because our first introduction of him is when Luke goes to Dagobah. Correct. And you know, our first introduction to Yoda is this funny little like old creature with a cane digging into like Luke's like food and stuff, and he's like, I'm looking for a master, and then it turns out like, huh, that's like I am the master, like
kind of like the senile old man that the drunk uncle that nobody wants around.
It's like, oh man. And then the Master Yoshi style where he's like this old guy where you're not thinking much of him, but then you're like, oh man. And then I'm glad we finally got to see him get down. It's like, oh man, Yoda wielding a lightsaber. It's like, I couldn't see it, I couldn't picture it. And then when that, you know, when the movie came out, I didn't really care for the yeah. Like it's like, okay, that's a bit weird, but you know. And then against Dooku, I was never impressed with Count Dooku.
He has, you know, if once you start to get into the animated series more, you'll kind of learn to love him a little more.
Yeah. Dooku, I don't know, he was kind of, I was like, I don't know. But it's kind of messed up because Palpatine just played everybody. Like it's like, how are you gonna be this dude's apprentice when he just keeps like, but then again, that's his thing, he wants the strongest person, so you know.
But then he's afraid of the strongest person at the same time because he knows he can be replaced, so it's like he's kind of like creating his replacement but doesn't want to be replaced, so he offs all of them. Like he definitely has this weird sense of self, like you know. And that's kind of the difference between the light versus the dark, is there is fear that's built up in them, and fear of losing all of his power. Like he's power hungry, he wants it all.
Now let's see here. I do like behind the scenes, behind the camera and the writer. I like how the you know, you got the stars also doing directing and writing the show, which is pretty awesome. Let's talk about real quick the Carl Weathers episode.
Yes.
Gene guy. I didn't catch it, and we haven't rewatched it to see it, but
the guy in the back corner acts, you know, it's kind of like, what was the other one? The Starbucks cup
in Game of Thrones. Yeah, but I didn't catch it, but I only saw the episode once, but we haven't gone back to watch it again to see it. But hilarious. I mean, it's funny how it got through. I like all the memes. If you go online, you can see like they made like their own little toy version, like the old school Kenner carded action figure of Gene guy. What's the one I just recently saw? The Dark Side has denim. But again, that's weird. I think it's weird how stuff like that gets by, because I mean, there is an editing process that I would have thought is more rigorous, but
I guess it's the only angle that they have. You know, you can't lose out on a certain
shot.
If they haven't had time to refilm, or they don't catch it until the end of the editing process, you can't go back sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. But I want that action figure. I want to see that action figure made. That I think, even if I can't get a hold of it, that's funny that I think it should be made into figure.
Weirder things have happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, remember My Little Pony, Derpy Pony. Like, that was a fan thing, and they ended up, they're like, you know, let's own it and let's make it. So I want to see.
Yeah, she had her own guy. You know, whole little story arc in My Little Pony.
I remember Comic-Con, like they had a Derpy exclusive.
Yeah, she, you know? You know, weird little pony with one eye up and one eye down, and then she became a thing.
Yeah, it was just a weird animation mess up, and now it's canon. Derpy's canon. So I want Gene guy to be canon. I want him to show up. Like, you never see him. It's only like the side, like his shoulders and pants, but I thought that was funny. But Carl Weathers, that's awesome. I mean, he's great. His character was great. And I think he originally said, if you watch the Disney Plus, the special they have on the behind the scenes of Mandalorian, I think he said he wasn't even supposed to be in
the directing seat.
That, or even more episodes. He was only hired on for, I think, like one or something like that. But But I'm glad they stuck with him. So we got into a little history of Mandalore, the Black Saber. Now let's talk about... So his mission in this season, he has to take Baby Yoda to a Jedi, to his own kind. And then that's where we meet Bo-Katan. Then she
connects him.
She is the one who gets all the fanboys squealing when she says, go to
Corvus
and find Ahsoka Tano, which apparently is actually canon because in the show, that's where she went, right? She was chilling out there. First of all, Ahsoka Tano. Rosario Dawson, perfect casting, I think.
Beautiful.
Perfect casting.
Beautiful.
Perfect casting. Like, I mean, even, again, we're talking about a character who their skin is orange, but even still, like, I think of Rosario Dawson as an older Ahsoka Tano, like, full on. Now, she is not Jedi at this point.
No. She left the Jedi Order years ago.
And that's in Rebels, right?
That's in Clone Wars.
Clone Wars. That's addressed in Clone Wars. You've seen this character from a kid to full-on master. Would you say master?
Yes.
She's master?
Yeah, she's...
She's master?
So, you know, after the Jedi are hunted down and assassinated, the whole Order 66, there's only a handful of Jedi that are left in the galaxy. I would say, if I remember correctly, about 20 of them that kind of survived Order 66, and we don't get to see many of them. Ahsoka Tano is one of those. She wasn't technically a Jedi by being a part of the Order anymore, but she was highly trained. She had some of the best masters there was, between Yoda, Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin. Like, these people that we all love, you know, her having been around and involved with other masters. She herself is very similar to Baby Yoda, the child, because she was an orphan and she was taken in by Plo Koon, who is another Jedi Master on the Jedi Council that we meet. Very unique looking character, but he became her foster father and kind of raised her. So we get to see this similarity between her and the little one to very quickly. They kind of have a commonality. So.
Gotcha. Now our introduction to first of all, real quick. Live action Ahsoka Tano, did it disappoint?
No. She was... once again, I said, and insert squeal here. I think I literally squealed when she showed up on TV. And I was expecting the episode to be... And I mentioned this to you when we were talking earlier, but I was expecting this to be, the Mandalorian kind of going and trying to find her, and then her having this small little scene or this cameo and them having a discussion.
Luke Skywalker Force Awakens type thing, where it's at the very end.
And no, exactly.
Didn't even say a word.
I wasn't expecting this from the get-go, straight out the gate. Dual lightsabers light up on screen. She does her whole song and dance that she does, and just like... my voice changed just now. Like, it's just like, it's one of those situations.
They gave us the full Monty right out the gate. Yeah. They showed us the goods.
There was no holding back with that.
No, it was a full Ahsoka Tano episode.
Which was great.
And like I said, first of all, we got some lightsaber action, which was awesome. Dual wielding, which I always thought it was awesome. Like I said, she's not a Jedi.
Correct.
Because she looked pretty emotional when she was fighting. I was like, man, she is angry.
She had one of the best trainers there.
When you're slicing people in half, I guess you got to be like, she was cutting through trees and people, and like she was not holding back. Like, it was pretty awesome. Beautiful casting. The look, amazing. They got the look. They nailed it. They nailed it.
Perfect. Perfect. They nailed it. From head to toe.
You know, I've seen some cosplayers, like, and that's the thing too, is I've seen some cosplayers get that look, but I'm glad this didn't look cosplay to me. This looked correct. Like they made that character. This wasn't like, again, and you can still see Rosario Dawson in that makeup and stuff like that.
But so the one thing that you can compare it to, there's another Jedi Master in the first three episodes that were introduced to. Her name is Shakti, and she looks very similar, but they both have, you know, their headpieces that you see.
Is that part of them, or yes, is that something? Okay, so that's her, that correct. Whole head correct. Like that. Okay,
they're called Leku.
Is that the race?
No,
or that's what that thing is.
That's what the headpiece is called. Okay. The head tails are called Lekus or Montrals, that they're referred to. And there's a couple different species that have them.
Okay.
You see the other species that a lot of people are familiar with is the Twi'leks, which is, if you remember back to Jabba the Hutt, he had that little sidekick Mirror Domo type guy with the in the blue robe with the weird twist and the sharp teeth.
He's the dude that, like, he lets Luke in, and then he's use a Jedi mind trick on you, you idiot, get out of here.
Yeah But so he, you know, there's certain species that have that type
something
of
head like tail. That's just okay, gotcha.
Hera Syndulla, who's the
fishy looking guy that smiles. He always smiles, like he looks like he's smiling. Green guy, he was a Jedi and he had all the like the
Kit Fisto.
Kit Fisto, yes. That guy, I liked him because he looked like he was always smiling. Like he was just
a very happy Jedi.
He was in one of the shorts, wasn't he? Kit Fisto. He was
You got to see a lot of him. That was the cool thing about Clone Wars. It's like all these cool Jedis that we met in the movies, they all got a bigger story arc.
Yeah,
and you got to delve deeper into each of the masters, and you know, which I'm good with, the Jedi,
and that's what I like about like the with the Mandalorian. Like I have been ready to, like, let's explore more of this Star Wars universe. Like like we don't always need, you know, the legacy characters. Like let's create more legacy characters, and I am all for that. Like again, like Ahsoka Tano, like, you know,
she went from someone who is supposed to be cut in the very beginning. And not even a part of the history. Wow. Originally supposed to be Obi-Wan's like little sidekick, really quick, but they decided to give her to Anakin. Like, he didn't want her, but at the same time, you have this girl and, you know, this very young Jedi Padawan that is given a nickname of Snips because she's so snippy at the beginning. See her from season to season to season. Yeah, she evolves and she becomes what you mentioned, that her own master, like that.
Yeah,
you know, even though she's not in the end not a part of the Jedi Order, she is still held up there, I think, with a lot of people in the Star Wars fandom as a master.
Yeah,
you know, you see her because just grow, you know, exponentially.
So the fact that, and again, I was expecting her to say this because she's known for I am no Jedi,
correct,
which that wasn't addressed in the episode. Like, and they, you know, like he brings it up too. I'm supposed to bring him to a Jedi. Like, I'm supposed to bring Baby Yoda to a Jedi. I was expecting her to be like, well, I'm not a Jedi. But she didn't say that. She didn't say anything. And like I said, at this point where we find Ahsoka Tano in this universe, she is on a mission already.
She has
her personal.
Correct.
And that is to find, is she looking for Ezra?
She's looking for Admiral Thrawn.
Okay, so because again, at the end of, I need your help with this because this involves Rebels, where basically at the end of that show,
at the end of the Rebels series,
Ezra is gone.
Admiral Thrawn is the main antagonist of the entire Rebels series.
Okay, and he is the blue guy.
He's a blue guy, very blue, very very blue character.
Is it because he's there's a bunch of novels dedicated to this guy. Is he a Force wielder, or he just a bad guy? He's just a straight bad dude.
He's a bad dude.
Again, not every bad guy needs to have powers, but like I said,
his sister was Force sensitive, but with his area of the galaxy that they come from, they don't have that same kind of Jedi structure. Their people don't kind of accept or acknowledge that.
Okay.
That side of the things, but his sister, what we know is from her history, she was force sensitive, but she was taken in as a, what they call a navigator, because they didn't have the same technologies as most of the galaxy with the spaceships.
Gotcha.
On their ships, she would use the force to kind of guide them.
Okay.
So that's kind of where hers is. So she had that, and mostly from his species, the women are force sensitive. The men are not.
Gotcha.
As usually.
They're more in tune.
Correct.
Okay. So he was, I guess, the guy behind the scenes in Rebels.
Correct.
And when Rebels ends, real quick, Rebels, we find the journey of Ezra Miller. Ezra Bridger. So he's our eyes and our window into that world where, again, he finds out he's force sensitive.
Correct.
Trained. He's basically, his journey is basically to be trained as a Jedi. Or just trained a little bit because
his story starts out interesting, kind of trying to protect his people. The whole resistance thing is going on his world as well. They're trying to fight against, you know, the Empire, just like everybody else is. They're trying to keep themselves alive.
Gotcha.
But he runs into a band of merry men, basically.
Yeah.
This misfit rat pack that we get to fall in love with. One of those members is one of the last or youngest people that survived the Jedi massacre, basically the Order 66, which is Kanan Jarrus. Kanan Jarrus kind of recognizes that Ezra has force sensitivity abilities, and he takes him under his wing and starts to train him.
Then we see his journey of
correct, and once again another master and apprentice type situation.
But they're not, again, they're, the Jedi are already gone at this point.
The Jedi are gone. And Kanan is very hesitant to even kind of train him because he knows what can happen, and he knows that the Empire is still after the Jedi.
Yeah.
So he tries to hide his abilities. You know, by the way, he's a blind, very blind Jedi, just like Daredevil.
But that's not until later. Yeah. I mean, he can't see. When we first meet him, he got played by the amazing Freddie Prinze Jr., by the way. So even well again, that you said ragtag team, it's like we have an ex-Jedi, young ex-Jedi, we have the Mandalorian, what's her name,
Sabine Wren.
And that's the first time I think we see a very different take on the Mandalorian armor.
Correct.
Like again, like the more non-traditional, like
hers is different because she also has this artistic ability, and her thing is she tags things up.
Yeah.
And so her art,
space graffiti,
pretty much, that's what she does. So she's taking her armor, not understanding and respecting the idea of what Mandalore is, or what has happened to her people, and she's painted it. Just as a kid, she's a teenager, she's just a rock punk teenager,
doesn't know the histories at this point, so
but it becomes her, I don't want to say her calling card, but it becomes an identification for her later on. And that you see that a lot. And I've said her name a lot with Bo-Katan. Her family, Bo-Katan's family and Sabine's family are really close together.
Gotcha.
Black saber wielding, you know, leaders and everything. So there is a connection between those two characters.
So like I said, we see that journey.
Correct.
But when that journey ends, Ezra Bridger... Is
Ezra and Admiral Thrawn,
they leave together?
They
disappear
off screen together, and no one knows what happened or where they went.
Gotcha. So
Sabine is close friends with Ahsoka Tano.
Okay, they're close, and they're tight.
There is a very small post-credit scene where they acknowledge each other, and you can tell that they're ready to go on a journey to find Ezra.
Gotcha. So
right now, what we've seen in The Mandalorian in season 2, they have brought multiple aspects of Star Wars past into this season of Mandalorian.
Gotcha.
We have Boba Fett that they've acknowledged.
Okay, so again, first it was the armor, but then we saw
the actual person.
Actual person that nomading out, you know, like it's like, okay, so
did he die?
I mean, again, the armor looked trash, but not crazy trash. Again, it's Beskar.
Correct.
But like I said, do you think they'll address that in this season? Like, I mean, they hint. I mean, if you're going to show him, like.
I don't know if they're going to do that in this season. They might. You think
they'll wait till next season?
They might. It's coming. All I know is that it's coming. I hope it's coming. I hope they really go back full circle and not just make this, you know, this nod to, hey, he didn't die, but.
Yeah, I want to know. Like, again, I want to know that history.
I want some history. Yeah, exactly.
Like, without taking away from, you know, Din Djarin or anything like that. Which again, I was worried because again, like I don't feel. I mean, everybody, we're like us. We're all talking about Ahsoka Tano, but I felt like they threw in enough to where it was, you know, the Mandalorian was still included. It wasn't correct. Like. I mean, again, did she steal the episode? Yeah, possibly. Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like it was her episode. There was a reason for it, and then they worked together. And
yeah, they collaborated really well.
Yeah, a Mandalorian and a Jedi. Yeah. You know, they'll never see it coming, and they didn't. But I do like how I like. First of all, their quick little fight.
The gunsling.
Ahsoka Tano and Din Djarin. Because they both like had skill, you know. And, like I said, I do like how he like instantly like ties her up, and then like she, you know.
Oh, that fight! Oh yeah, the initial fight.
The initial fight when they first met, where she's just like, "You're coming." And that's another thing too. She, you know, she was asked no questions. She was like, you know, fight now and then ask questions later. So again, like I said, she's very. She definitely isn't a Jedi because she's very emotional. She was just like, let's go. And then he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Ahsoka Tano, hold on. Like, be cool.
He threw out the codename quick.
Yeah, he was like, Ahsoka. I mean, again, they both kind of back and forth. It was cool little, you know. I love the flamethrower scene, you know. And then she quickly takes off her robe, which apparently that burned. And yet she had another one. Whatever. Some plot holes there. That bugs me. That's the part that bugs me, is like she had her another robe. It's like, did she have a bunch of spares with her
out in the middle of the burned forest?
But we did get some little Easter eggs.
Yes.
The owl.
The owl that follows her.
Now, why is that owl significant? Tell me about it. Owl me.
Story arc from Star Wars: The Clone Wars. It goes into the history of the light and the dark, the siblings. There's a sibling rivalry of balance, and it kind of gives the story of the male dark character and the female light character,
okay,
and how they have to balance each other out. And all this bird is present, and once, without getting too, once one of the characters is killed off.
Get emotional, bro. Get emotional.
Ahsoka's kind of the person that takes that place in the balance of the Force.
Gotcha.
And so that's why she kind of stays very neutral in a lot of this, is she kind of remains that balance to the light side.
Gotcha.
But the Convor, which is the animal, the owl that we see, is present. You see it not only in the Clone Wars, it showed up in Rebels. Okay. And then she showed up in Rebels.
That's true.
And right before she shows up on screen in the Mandalorian episode, you see the Convor in the left corner in a tree, which is way cool because they've just kind of tied all three series together again. So.
And then, like I said, they, you know, she was hesitant to train because, again, he delivers. You know, his mission is to bring Baby Yoda to a Jedi, which he does. And I do like how the attachment, because you can hear it in his, again, Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you can't see his emotions. So all his acting is his voice. Like, you know, and he does such a good job because you hear it in his voice when he's like, I guess I'll go get the child. Like, you could tell, like, he's very hesitant. Like, it just kind of sucks. Like, he's going to do it, but it's like, it's not something that's easy for him. He's not just like, all right, well, you know, like I do love, like, he's doing a great job. But I do like how she's like, well, let me see. Again, he's 50, Baby Yoda. I'm sorry. He has a name now. Grogu. Which I mean, I think we're still going to call him the child or Baby Yoda.
I think Baby Yoda is going to stick with that character for quite some time.
Grogu is for when he's at older.
50.
I can see when he's a few hundred years old, he'll be more of a Grogu. Like, you know, but as of right now, I think people are still going to be like the child because he's still cute and he's still funny and, you know, but apparently, like I said, his history, you know, he's had several masters already. So he's actually been trained because, again, if, you know, the history of Star Wars, they're supposed to get him while they're young because it's harder to train, like, you know, or they're not supposed to train when they're older. Granted, Luke was like, well, he's supposed to be 17, right? And he gets trained by, you know, one of the best masters. But yeah, like I said, so he still remembers some of the Force and how to wield some of those powers, but I like how she's like, he's too attached to you, I can't train him, because that leads to, you know, I've seen where that goes, you know. She's worried because, you know,
they kind of make a, you know, the connection, a really good connection between him and Anakin, and how, like I said, the Jedis aren't supposed to have one attachment to anybody, but two, the big thing that Master Yoda was afraid of is he sensed the fear, and he knew that Anakin had a lot of fear in him as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so when we first meet Annie as a little boy, Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan kind of have to vouch for this kid. And they're like, no, we'll take, you know, we'll train him. Yeah. We'll train him right. But sometimes our initial kind of our nature,
yeah,
is always there. Our, that we see that in real life is like, sometimes you can't change those things.
So. And the thing is I think, so basically, was Anakin or eventually Darth Vader, was he supposed to be the one to balance out the Force? And then it's like, okay, it turned out no. And then it's like, oh, is that possibly Ahsoka Tano? Was it possibly Rey? Was it? So I think we still haven't seen, we haven't met the person that's supposed to balance out the Force. I think that's still a story arc that still needs to be told, because every time we think it's somebody, it turns out it's not, or it doesn't end up the way. So, and again, like I said, Jedis, they can see into the future, but sometimes they can't see exactly. So they just know, like, there is supposed to be someone to balance out the Force. And it's like, I don't think the
Force is always going to need to be balanced out.
You know? But I don't think we've met that character that they said that this is going to be the character that, you know, is supposed to do it. But
like, I think a lot of that in episode 9 was Kylo. Kylo Ren had a lot of that where he kind of had to balance out the dark and light, and what we saw, a growing ominous backstory of the darkness taking over.
I don't know if I can blame Kylo for, because again, he at first was just like, we don't like, oh, he turned bad. Like, we know Luke doesn't train him, but Luke put himself in exile because at the time we were like, oh, he had an apprentice that turned bad. But then when we find out the history, it's like Kylo Ren is sleeping, looks up, and Luke is about to slice him in half, but hesitates. It's like, I don't think I can blame Kylo for being like turning, because I'd be like, whoa, what is happening? Like, forget you, I'm out. Like, so, I mean, it's not like he didn't have a reason. Like, Luke was about to like take him down for a second, which I thought was very out of character for Luke. Like, I thought that was weird that they threw that in there. Like, it was one of those I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, that they would put this character that's always been pretty much a force for good, and
correct, who was originally supposed to be the balance,
but it turns out he had that moment of like, somehow, I think it'll be easier if I end him. Granted, it was just for a second, but he was in the room hovering above Kylo Ren. So I was just like, wow, that was, I always thought that was kind of weird that they did that to Luke, but you know, whatever.
The scales went off balance.
And, you know, I don't know.
His mental stability was gone a little bit.
Yes, it's all that blue milk. But, so it's too much blue milk and pork meat. Too much blue milk and pork meat. It'll mess you up, man. Speaking of blue milk, did you like it at Disneyland?
It was
slushy. I thought it was gonna be like a milk. It was like an icy.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, I thought
it was like a float.
I had the blue one. I didn't try the green one.
The green one, yeah.
I only had the blue one. But like I said, I was expecting it to be more
blue bantha milk.
I don't know if it was eggnoggy or like more of a milk, not so much a slushy.
Like a shake.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think they could have done.
Yeah.
but I don't know, that was weird. But yeah, so we get Ahsoka Tano, we get a live action Ahsoka. Pretty much, I mean, do you think that's it, right? Do you think we're going to see another episode with her in it?
I think we will.
You think we will?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think, like, that was it? Like, that
no,
was
it? I think they'll make... And this is what I'm trying to figure out is, like I was trying to say earlier, The Mandalorian has introduced so many characters and different storylines that are trying to connect together in this universe.
Yeah.
That they can't just leave us that way.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Boba Fett, Bo-Katan, Ahsoka Tano, the mention of Thrawn, you know, the connection between Sabine and Bo-Katan, Ahsoka and Sabine and Ezra. It's like we have all of these different characters we've learned to love that they're now slightly introducing into this series.
Well, again, now that we have that, so there is going to be an Ahsoka Tano show, right? It has been confirmed.
Pretty sure that I heard it was.
So we might get these characters in that universe. But also in Rise of Skywalker. Like I said, they at that end scene where Rey is reaching out to, like, all the masters, start saying, like you said, you hear everyone's voice. I read and heard that they actually, that these people dressed up and filmed that actual scene where originally I think we were supposed to see them. Like in their
sport force spirits.
Yeah, whether they were dead or not, that's just how astral projection or whatnot. That they, you know, again, these people did record and dressed up. Like I think, I don't know if it was Samuel Jackson or somebody had said that, like, yeah, we were
there.
We filmed a quick, like, you know, like the force is always with you, or
but yeah, you hear a ton with of, you hear a ton of voices.
Yeah, I mean, you heard everybody, right?
Amongst them, there's, you know, Kanan Jarrus.
And they're credited, right? They're credited in the credits.
Luke Skywalker, Yoda,
Ezra,
Master Windu.
Kanan
was
Kanan. You heard him, and
Ahsoka's voice is heard in there. You know, there's a bunch of them that kind of pop in to do this little, you know, we got your back type moment with Rey.
So again, like I said, they want to expand, and again, they can expand that into the live action with Disney Plus. Now there's a vehicle where it works. Like, you can, they with this, even with the cartoons, but live action with Mandalorian, they've shown we can make more characters, this universe work without having to keep going back to
the old one.
Yeah. And like I said,
you don't
have to
keep tying in, but
and just enough. Give me just enough to know, like, make me feel like, yes, I am still in that universe. Like, acknowledge just enough. Like, I don't need, you know, and like I said, I realistically, there are always going to be Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. There, you know, we're not going to, this franchise isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
No, definitely.
You know, I mean, none of these franchises are. Like I said, I mean, how many Batmans have we had? How many more Batmans are we going to have? Like I said, the reality is...
Ben Affleck!
You're not excited for Pattinson? I'm excited, dude.
Ben Affleck!
Granted, I like them all, though. I can't... Shout out to George Clooney! Val Kilmer, whatever. It's still, they're part of the history. You gotta
give it up for those bat nips.
But that's not his fault. I mean, granted, that's, you know, again, like I said, it.
Do you think we'll ever get to see Robin make his appearance again?
Oh, definitely. You know what I would like, honestly? If they did Carrie Kelly. If they did, the Dark Knight Returns, I would love to see a Dark Knight Returns freaking live action. Like, oh my god, like a hard R, grimy, like...
But what's her name? The one that we had talked about this at one point, having a Batgirl, or what? Batwoman. The girl
from
Katniss, what's that movie?
The Hunger Games?
The one that drops her clothes in the elevator.
Oh yeah, yeah. What's the actress's name? She played she was Rocket in
Sucker Punch.
Which again,
Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone. Yes.
We
she'd be a good.
She'd play a lot of good stuff.
She would. Where has she been?
I don't know.
No, she's too small for Poison Ivy. She's way too small for Poison Ivy. Where has Jenna Malone been?
That's a good question. Jenna Malone, if you're out there and you're listening to Geek Valley Social, hit us up.
Yeah, seriously, like, where are you?
Come back!
What have you been doing? We're fans.
Are you off on a world just like Ahsoka Tano?
But yeah, so again, they are introduced. So again, so there will be an Ahsoka Tano show, which, I mean, even if there wasn't already one planned after this episode, I mean the fan base is there.
Correct.
The history is there. They have so much story left to tell now. There's at a this lot point. To tell. And if you can live action it, and right now too, with what's going on in the world, I get filming is hard, but they do a lot of in-house stuff. Like they definitely haven't been, I feel they haven't been affected as much because everything is in-house, everything is enclosed, the effects now that they use.
Yeah, like, they can green screen almost anything and then splice two people together in the same scene. Like, why not? Like,
And also, exactly. You can, like, they're not in the same room, but they are in the same room. But also, speaking of green screen, if you watch the behind the scenes on Disney Plus and The Mandalorian, they've actually made that. They've taken green screen to like the next level, which I think more people are probably going to be using eventually. But
that's why the Gene guy didn't have to exist that way.
Which again,
they could have CGI'd new pants on him.
Was it an accident?
He could have had robot legs for all we knew.
And like, I mean, well, again, because. Right, this is long ago in a land far, far away. Yes. So this is the past. People forget that Star Wars, this universe, is the past. And again, it's not our galaxy, so...
We've evolved.
I mean, again, if there's, you know, Ahsoka Tano with her orange skin, I mean, why can't there be, like, this dude with jeans and a watch? A smartwatch or whatever.
There was actually a comment made about one of the frog ladies... from the episode where he's eating the little frog species, the little boba balls. where she's wearing a sweater from JCPenney.
Oh man, see?
But somebody caught it where but she has like her full on backpack and everything, but it's something we can buy off the rack right now.
Since you brought this up. The her species, that episode, again,
did it bother you?
It bothered. Okay, this is why though.
Did
this
it bother
is,
you?
This is weird. It bothered me because the purpose of that episode was like they're going to escort this character with her legacy, her children. They were egg form. And again, this was the last of her race, and she needed to take it to her husband so they can fertilize and keep this race going, because again, this was the end of this run. That was it. There wasn't going to be any more of these people. So the fact that Grogu, Baby Yoda, is eating, and again, it's not like these are chickens or anything. Like,
it's
they're
a delicacy.
We're not worried about like, you know, that's like me. Like, I'm supposed to take these two pandas with their newborn to like the San Diego Zoo, and I eat the baby. Like, this is the end of the
line.
They
weren't fertilized.
This is the end. But again, it's not like it was. It's not cute that he was eating. Again, if it was just, you know.
But we already saw him in season one eating a frog.
But that frog, as far as I know, wasn't the last of its line. Okay, they weren't supposed to protect this girl and her eggs, dude.
But as far as we know.
I thought it was a little weird.
Might be the last of his line.
But nobody's eating him.
That giant spider almost did.
But I mean, again, like I said, it wasn't like... He wasn't just like... The
insert nod to Aliens.
Facehuggers. They didn't, in the original McQuarrie sketches for the character sketches for Star Wars, didn't that existed, right? The spider existed. Yep. So Jon Favreau and the crew that is controlling this show, they're really throwing at us like the history of like these characters, and it's not like they're doing like an excellent job. It's insane how good they're doing. And again, like you said, I'm like the worst critic because I do like everything. It's like I wish they put this passion in a lot of these movies, because I think they've misstepped a lot of things in the movies, you know, where it's like, you know, I get that, and not just Star Wars, but like even like, you know, superhero movies and like DC and this and that. Like, I think they're trying to please too many people. I think the fan base is already there, and I don't think you're going to alienate anyone. Like, you don't have to try to please everybody. Just, and again, and I'm not saying only cater to the fans, but I would say stick to the character. Stick to the character. That's what's going to draw, like, you know, don't be like, I think people are going to like this. And like,
well, that's, we've seen that at 100 different times in comic books, though.
Yeah.
Where we have a storyline, the original Batman is not the Batman we still see.
No,
we've fallen in love with this guy who basically we know as a billionaire. But he's become a lot more dark and more savage than he used to be. You know, there definitely still, you know, some of the original ideas and aspects is a guy dressed in a bat suit, but we have, you know, we have backstory. We have things that have changed about him. We've had Ninja Batman. We've had, you know, Arctic, you know, Batman. Yeah. We've had all these different histories, you know, where I think a tough thing that fans have to deal with is seeing or reading about these characters and then seeing them brought to life. And want to keep some of those pieces.
I think that's
similar, but continue the creative.
Yeah. It's hard to put your, I know a lot of people want to put their own twist on a character, but I think sometimes where they misstep is
too extreme.
Yeah. They alienate. I don't think, you know, like, you got that character down. And again, with my comic book knowledge and history and this and that, I think it's
like Deadpool.
It's good and bad sometimes, where it's like, I'm okay with like seeing another version of Joker, because in the comics I've seen a million versions of Joker. I've seen a million versions of these characters. I've seen, like, so for me it's like, I'm okay with that. For me it's nothing new. But I think now we're at that point where most people who are, let's say, moviegoers, I think now, I don't think we need a spoon feed histories now. No. Like, we don't need another Batman origin.
We don't need every backstory.
I don't need another Spider-Man origin. We don't
need to know that Batman's parents were killed in an alley.
They were?
At least that's what I thought would happen.
Like I said, it's
spoiler,
like,
alert. We don't
like, we don't need, you know, I don't think we need any of that anymore. I think we've seen enough renditions of these characters to where it's like, all right, cool. I do like how they're digging deep into other characters. Like again, we're getting ready for the Eternals.
Yep.
Like again, they rolled the dice on Guardians of the Galaxy.
And they did a great job.
And people loved it. Even though, again, being the comic book fan I am, that's not the original Guardians of the Galaxy. Right. Those aren't the characters were there, but they weren't there. But again, this movie version, like this cinematic version, is awesome. And people, you know, who's Groot, who's Rocket, and people know now. And before, when this movie came, like, I knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were, but no one else did. Thanos is a household name now, at least in this household. but again, like I said, when that Avengers movie came out and they showed that quick little end clip of this purple guy, nobody had no clue. Now everybody knows who Thanos is and what he's all about. People know, like, you know, what the Infinity Stones are and the Infinity Gauntlet and this and that. So I'm glad that they're deep diving more into, and I think I really like with the Suicide Squad and this next one coming up, I'm really excited that they're introducing these Z-lister characters now, and people are like, you know, because again Marvel and DC have such a huge, they have so many characters that they there's so much potential there. You know, I am surprised that we have waited this long to get a female lead, Captain Marvel, Black Widow. Like, I mean, right. This is crazy how, you know,
girl power.
They have so many more characters. Like, I am excited that Disney and Marvel now have all the rights to the characters. We're gonna have mutants, we're gonna have, like, it's an exciting time to be a fan of the comics and these movies, because I think, like, what they're 10 years in the making, Infinity, you know, the Infinity saga that they did on the cinematic universe. I can't wait to see what happens next, especially now that they have access to almost all their characters.
In 50 years we can look back and say, oh, the start of this all was with Iron Man, you know, back back in the day, I remember that and see where they've gone, you know, 50 years in the future, see what has changed. And
yes,
what has
evolved. Yeah.
Not only that, our technology is constantly changing as well. So hopefully we don't have a post-apocalyptic world that we're living in. We can't experience
any of this. We kind of do already. But I mean, like I said, we don't know what the landscape is going to be like next year. Like this time next year, we don't know. You know, like I said, again, like we don't know. Like our theaters dying. Yes, but the ones that survive, like I said, what's it going to look like? And then now that everyone has streaming services, and I mean, I don't think the cinematic world is over yet, but
has the big screen kind of, is it dying down? Is this what's happening kind of like to 8-track and CDs? It's okay. Like everything's, well, again, you know, yeah, super streamed. So,
well, here's the thing too, though. It's art, like you said, technology. It's like, so right now, the only thing theaters have is sound, because most people don't have a crazy, everyone now has like almost, there's, you know, like I said, the 4K,
correct,
LOED screens or whatever. Like, so again, visually we have better optics in our house, but the sound I think is still what theaters have. But like I said, in this day and age, I mean, there are movies that I would like to like see in the theater, but I mean, again, Wonder Woman going to HBO Max, you know, like I said, I think the streaming services, and again, for movies to survive,
that's what I've loved movies, they have to, always been attached to movies because of the experience.
Yeah,
exactly. There's a different feeling of watching a movie on the silver screen, there's versus just something about on the small screen at home, no matter how giant your TV is,
if experience,
it's, you know, 83-inch TV, you're still not going to get the same experience as, no, I don't have an 83-inch TV, just saying,
not yet.
But versus a giant screen at the movie theater,
and I mean, again, hopefully things open up enough, because I do want to experience
sensory overload.
I do want to experience that 4D experience, where it's like the sense and the chairs move and rumble and stuff like that. I would like to actually experience that once, but yeah, like I said, there is something about being in that audience and people who enjoy what you enjoy, and I've had more pleasant experiences at the theater than I've had negative. But like I said, I think what theaters have that most people don't have, it's the sound. You know, again, like, correct, I said, we're looking at screens that are, I mean, our phones look better than some of the movie screens I've seen. But like I said, it you know, I don't think as of right now it's completely over for movie theaters. They're probably not going to be as many as there used to be. And I think more people are going to be very wary of, like, it's not just like everything's not going to be a hit anymore, and I don't think movies for a while are going to make what they made, unless, like I said, streaming service is where it's at right now, probably for the next year or two, because again, there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline that we're waiting for.
Been a lot of movies put on hold, and all these
pushed back, or
movie studios are probably stockpiling on all these ideas that they've had and what they've started to film.
Like, what do we do now? Like, and again, I think, like I said, with Wonder Woman going to the streaming service, Mulan went straight to the streaming service. And again, there's that debate on, you know, if you're already paying for the streaming service, it kind of sucks that you have to pay for the movie now. But again, like,
it's premier access.
You know, it worked. Mulan, you know, like I said,
enjoyable.
It was good. I mean, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't listened to it yet, I do have a episode dedicated to my thoughts on the Mulan movie, so check that out. But
just go back and listen to all the episodes.
Yes, please. Don't forget to follow the Instagram page, the Geek Valley Social Club Instagram page. We will be doing giveaways soon. So that, I think that's it for our Mandalorian episode. AKA the Fandalorians. Joseph, thank you for being on the show. I can officially announce it that you are now an official member of the Geek Valley Social Club. But this guy has been a member since even before, when this was just like an idea in my head before I started the podcast. So I definitely appreciate that. This is definitely not the last time he's going to be on the show. He is going to be a returning character guest here. Our next, well, we have a ton of
ideas.
We have a ton of things we want to talk about. This I really wanted to talk about, since it was fresh. I wanted to talk about the Mandalorian, and like I said, because Joseph knows more of I feel, especially with the last several episodes, this has really gotten into that Rebels, Clone Wars lore more than anything else. So I wanted your perspective. And
well, I know what you're going to start watching now. So
yeah. Well, he suggested a lot of episodes regarding the Mandalorians.
Correct.
But I think I do need to just
dive in now.
Go from, well, do I do Clone Wars?
Oh, we'll start do from I
do
the beginning.
Do I do Clone Wars? Okay, so it's Clone Wars.
Samurai and Jack Clone Wars.
The shorts. I got to go to the shorts.
And then we'll go into the Clone Wars.
And then
Then you Rebels. Can watch Rebels. And then you watch most of the Resistance with myself and my daughter. So
but,
we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, I wanted your perspective because I knew you were more the expert on that, you know, like I said. And again, I enjoyed these episodes. I was like, oh man, that is awesome. But I know you, for you, it was more than that. Like I said, I was like, oh man, that's badass. Like seeing her live action, that character brought to life. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine.
It's not just seeing Ahsoka Tano. Like, for anybody who knows my history of Star Wars, she has been my character. Yeah. Like, if you want to ask me who one of my favorite characters of all time is, like, I've never seen a character fully developed and evolved like I have with Ahsoka Tano. I light up with her. She has it. She has this distinct story.
Yes.
And you know, her connection to Anakin and Darth Vader is just for me personally, the breaking point of where Anakin turns into Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And so to see this character that I've loved actually go to live action.
Yeah, come to life.
And it wasn't like, it wasn't this little tidbit information.
No,
it was a full on episode. You got to see every sense of fighting style that she's had. She had, you know, this great battle sequence with him. You had her, you know, fighting to try and get to her end goal.
Yeah.
You know,
she definitely has an agenda. That's for
sure. There was some great stuff to see.
And she seemed kind of, again, I mean, she played the character cool, but almost cold, because like I said, when, you know, spoilers, but that episode where they were like, you know, she's like, tell me what I want to know, I'm gonna get my information. And the girl was like, well, what's it worth to you? Like, one life, two lives, 100? And she didn't flinch at all. So I was like, man, this,
she was controlled.
She's cold.
She was very controlled with her
she
emotions.
She was like, all right, whatever. So, and again, like I said, it wasn't about saving. I mean, again, that's just how I'm
seeing
it.
Yeah,
she was just like, I need to know what I need to know. Like, I need to, like, I'm focused on this. But
do you think that spear, the Beskar spear? Do you think that was a nod to Game of Thrones and Pedro Pascal's spear as Oberon?
Oh man, dang, that's a deep cut. Well, not so deep, but it could be, because again, him. I mean, we know he knows how to use a spear. You know, and that came out dirtier than I meant it to.
And you thought I was the one who was saying.
Sorry, Pedro. But like I said, I mean, are we going to see him use it now? I mean, now that he has it, I mean, it's already like, I mean, he's already got so much.
Once again,
are you going to hold that? Like, how are you going to, like, that's not.
But
it's not practical, bro.
As we brought up, though, he has a sense of honor, you know, about his code.
True,
where
yeah.
he's
well,
like,
he didn't want to take it.
He didn't want to take it. I didn't earn it. It's not mine. So
yeah, and then she's like, "Well, it belongs with.
It belongs to your people, so you need to take it with you." So
yeah, well, maybe he'll melt it down and make something else. Like again, because that thing is pure too. So
what a mighty spear he has.
Okay. All right, well, until next time, Joseph, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
However you're listening to this podcast, you know, send me a message. Let me know what your thoughts on the Mandalorian show are. Do you like it? Do you love it? How'd you feel about Ahsoka Tano? Don't forget to follow the Geek Valley Social Club Instagram page. Message me on that. Any last words?
This is the way.
Perfect. Chef's kiss. As always, thank you for listening.